Radio for homeowners and pet owners in distress. I'm your host, Dr. Joyce Starr, author of Defend Your Condo and Homeowner Rights, and publisher of the first Homeowner's Defense Kit. Please visit my website at Starr, that's S-T-A-R-R, publications with an S at the end, .com, or drjoycestarr.com, drjoycestarr.com. The Homeowner's Defense Kit, which includes my book, is the first link at the top of the left navigation on both sites. I also want to take this opportunity to extend warmest wishes and appreciation to Sherry Amoruso of Florida for her generous support and sponsorship of Rights Radio. Sherry is profoundly caring, personally courageous, and a determined fighter for homeowner rights. She is the founder of Angels Across America. Angels Across America is dedicated to assisting the families of America's fallen heroes in the small ways that often count most. Sherry has written, for example, a son would like to go to baseball camp, a mom might need help paying a dental bill, and the list goes on. We want to show that patriotism is what this country was, is, and will always be about. Thank you, Sherry, and you can find the details on how to reach her at rightsradio.com under the sponsorship link. Our guest today is Maida Genser, founder of Citizens for Pets in Condos, petsincondos.org. That's petsincondos.org. Maida has worked tirelessly to increase acceptance of companion animals in condos and other types of association-run housing. The topic today is protecting the rights of condo pet owners, including those who need a companion animal for health reasons. Citizens for Pets in Condos is a tax-exempt private operating foundation dedicated to increasing acceptance of companion animals in condos and other types of association-run housing. They educate the public about the health benefits of having animal companions, and they advocate for responsible pet ownership and guardianship. Hello, Maida. Welcome.
Hi, Joyce. Nice to talk to you. It's actually Maida.
Maida. Okay, my mistake. Always calling you Maida. So Maida it is, and it's M-A-I-D-A.
Right.
Great. And she's known for that name. Welcome again. Maida, what is Citizens for Pets in Condos?
Well, just what you said, that whole line about being tax-exempt and being dedicated to increasing acceptance of companion animals in condos and all the other types of association-run housing. That's really what we're all about.
And what's your motto?
Our motto is creating a win-win situation for both people and pets. What we really want to try to do is help the people who want to have pets, help the people who don't really want pets by giving them some ways to be assured that animals aren't going to be a nuisance, and also helping the animals.
Right. And people can reach you, as I said, at petsincondos.org, P-E-T-S in condos, C-O-N-D-O-S.org. And what phone number can they reach you at?
Okay. Our dedicated phone number is 954-366-4555. Actually, for people who are living up in the Palm Beach area, David Shapiro, our former vice president, is willing to talk to people in that area, and his phone number is 561-588-7487. And we also can take email at info@petsincondos.org. And if people don't remember the contact information, just go to our webpage, and the contact information is up in the upper right-hand corner of the webpage.
Great. And before we go on to the topic, what's available on your website? What can they find there?
Okay. The main thing on our website is a petition to allow pets. There's a link to an online petition. And there is also several ways that people can print out petitions and pass them around, get signatures on paper. We have brochures and posters that can be printed out and mini ads. We have a PowerPoint on health benefits that can be downloaded and used if people want to go out and talk to the public about the health benefits. We have legal information. I should point out that we are not attorneys, so we cannot give legal advice. But we have collected information and list web links to some information from recognized authorities. We even have a sample doctor's letter. We also have information on condo reform, and we, on that page, we list Cyber Citizens for Justice, which is an organization we partner with, and of course we list the information about Dr. Joyce Starr, because of the important work that you do. We list events, and not only pet events, but condo reform, condo HOA reform kind of events, and other events that relate to what we're doing. We have a page where people who are looking for pet-friendly housing can find some information, find some listings. We have a page where we give solutions to some common pet nuisance issues. We have samples of reasonable pet guidelines, which we hope associations will use rather than strict no pet deed restrictions. We have letters. The letters section is very interesting. We get so many letters and calls from people, and just in case someone doesn't think this is really an issue, just go to our letters pages and look at all the letters that we get for people who are looking for help or comment about what's going on. We have a page with stories, testimonials about the health benefits. We have a fun page. We have a lot of information on our site. One of the most important things we have on our site is our fundraising page. We have partnered with Yellow Brick Road. That is a nonprofit fundraising page that many nonprofits subscribe to. You can go to Yellow Brick Road and reach major merchants, Macy's. I don't want to pick one over another. Pet food companies, all kinds of office supply places, Amazon, all kinds of different businesses. And they offer discounts mainly because we're a nonprofit, so that they don't people don't have to pay tax for a nonprofit.
Well, that's pretty important.
So
quite a saving.
So they offer a discount to people who purchase. Anyhow, you can buy things through Yellow Brick Road. Just goes. It's like a portal to get to, I don't know, maybe 50 different online stores, and you pay normal price, and the discounted tax benefits we get back as a donation.
Okay.
Okay. Well, the other thing that major fundraising effort we have, back when there was the big pet food recall and the scare about all kinds of nasty things in the pet foods, I started my own two cats on Healthy Pet Net Food, and we partnered with them too. If people click through to the Healthy Pet Net page on our website for dog, cat, or even horse food, if you buy, you get the regular price, but we get some money from that.
Okay. Well, now, Maida, why did you start the organization? Oh, I think we have a call coming in.
Yes.
Okay, let's take it before we go on. Who am I speaking with?
Louis LaRicher. I'm a candidate for State Representative District 56 in Hillsborough County.
Lovely.
Yeah, thank
you. Welcome.
Yes, I'd like to speak to her a little bit about some of the issues that she's talking about. I've emailed her a few on other issues on Homeowners Association.
Can you speak up a bit, sir, because I'm not hearing you real well. Can you speak a little louder?
I'm talking as loud as I can.
Okay. Maida, can you hear him?
Sort of.
Okay.
Okay. Am I on?
Well, you're definitely on. I just like to hear you better, that's all. Hello?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi, Joyce. Louis LaRisha here.
Okay,
we've
got
spoken
you now.
A few times in the past, and I'm calling in to find out a little bit more of what you're talking about as far as the dogs. As I'm sure you're aware of, there is a case going on. I'm talking as loud as I can, and I usually do my own radio shows, too, but
you're doing
I don't know why
well
we're having
now.
A problem.
It's coming through quite nicely.
What's that?
It's coming through quite nicely now.
Okay, you can hear me now?
Yes, perfectly.
Okay, let me reiterate what I just said. Okay, I'm running for State Representative District 56 in Hillsborough County, Florida. I've spoken to Joyce numerous times on other issues that she had, but we had one issue recently from a lady that lives out in Ellington that had two small dogs, and she needed them because she was in a... also has a trek in her throat, and also that she cannot really function properly without the two dogs. What her problem was, were her two dogs would run out when she would open up the condominium door to answer the door. She wanted to put a gate across there. The Condominiums Homeowners Association, they made a big production out of this. She chain-linked herself to the fence in protest of what they were to do. There were letters written to the governor, written to other state legislators, which I helped out doing. And then the bottom line was that they stopped the issue one day before they were going to take down her fence. And now she's applying to HUD for a discrimination case based on the fact that she needs her two animals to comfort her and also to help out with issues around the house. Now, what would your position be on that if somebody said to you, that a lady is in a wheelchair, she's wheelchair bound, she has a trek in her throat, and the association is just saying, we don't care, you're violating one of the holy deed restrictions, and we're going to take you to court, or we're going to either take you to mediation. What would you do in a case like that, Joyce?
Is the question directed to me or toward Maida?
Toward Joyce.
Toward me?
Yes.
All right. Well, of course I would want to help this woman every way possible. That's what we're dedicated to, trying to find ways to help the homeowner short of redress. And I think she had a very good case, obviously. She has
had
a disability.
Had you followed that case at all?
Pardon?
Had you followed that case
no,
at all with Cyber Citizens for Justice?
I haven't heard of it either.
But
okay.
I want to point out that our guest is dedicated to these types of issues, particularly people who live in associations and a disability, and perhaps she'd like to respond as well. But I definitely would not only embrace the case, but would have tried in every way possible to help the homeowner in such a circumstance, of course.
Okay, what I'll do is I'll have her give you a call, because you are a much better writer than I would be. And on the same token, I'll have her give you a call. She'll probably have to email, because it's very difficult for her to speak. And, you know, so the easiest way to do it would be through an email. I'll email her afterwards, and I'll tell her who you are, and I'll have her send an email explaining what the issue is, and anything you can do also to help in her case with her two animals would be very, very appreciated.
Well, that's very nice of you. I will definitely look forward to receiving that email.
Okay.
All right.
It's been a pleasure once again chatting with you.
Okay, a real pleasure.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Bye.
Okay. Well, Maida, let's continue here, and let's talk about why you started your organization and how you moved into this whole arena in the first place.
Okay. We moved down here my husband and I moved down here in 2004. We're searching for a condo where pets are allowed because we had heard of the situation down here. We bought a condo, got the mortgage, and after we had all that arranged, then we learned that we had have an interview with the board to be allowed to live here. I was given a form to fill out where I could list the pet, and I listed one of my cats. The interviewer gave it back to us and said, oh, no pets are allowed. They had changed the rules. The paperwork I got was old paperwork. Here I was already, you know, into the whole thing with the pets. The board member who we spoke to said, well, just hide the pet. Lots of people here have pets. And you know, we were so far into it already. I was dealing with a disability. I was waiting to have my hip replaced. And, you know, the thought of trying to move somewhere else in that condition was just, you know, we were barely moved in and had to get a lot of help to, you know, unpack things and everything. And so that was my personal issue. We finally got it straightened out with doctor's letters, but it was a horrible thing to go through. We had come down here from Michigan where there were the same kinds of rules, but nobody ever came after someone about a pet issue unless an animal became a nuisance. They were what I would call soft rules there, just in case to take care of a problem, because no one wants an animal being a nuisance. I've been a long-time humane activist, vegetarian, peace, other issues, and after I moved here, I took a seminar called Sowing Seeds, and based on this humane activism training, what I decided to do was create a petition and then a website to point to the petition. Then I created an organization to go with it, Citizens for Pets and Condos, made it nonprofit, and added a whole bunch of information on the webpage about health benefits. The webpage has mushroomed since there. There are all kinds of information and resources on the webpage. One of the things I created when I first started speaking at condo reform events were the reasons why change is needed. And this is a page I'm reading right from a page on our webpage. Got 7 points here. 1, pet rules generally discriminate against seniors, which violates the intent of federal law. It is wrong to decide before the fact that seniors are unable or unwilling to properly care for pets. 2, there are numerous ways pets have been shown to help keep their owners healthier. And there's tons of information on our webpage about that. 3, pet rules are now unevenly enforced. Dog owners are discriminated against more often than cat owners. Dogs can actually help prevent robberies. 4, it is a fact that in spite of these pet rules, many people keep and hide pets in their privately owned dwellings. This, in fact, implies that a lot of people would be relieved if pet rules were lightened. 5, condo associations would have less expense finding and prosecuting people with pets, or just for having pets. 6, people who don't want pets around might be willing to bend if they knew that the law still required responsible pet ownership and that their community and peace would be unharmed. 7, rules regarding pet ownership in condos and HOA-governed housing areas should be in line with rules in the city and state of residence. As long as other co-owners, co-residents are not adversely affected, any homeowner should have no more, no fewer restrictions than others in the larger community.
Well, that's a wonderful list. Let's talk for a moment, because I think it's very helpful and it opens a lot of eyes. How do you help, first, people, and then, secondly, how do you help animals?
Hold on just one minute.
Maida?
Okay, yes. I'm looking through my notes.
Forgive me. For me, it's
okay.
Not Maida.
Okay.
For you, it's Maida, but it's the same person.
Okay, so first, how do I help people?
Well, how do you help people? Explain to our listeners. Of course, you provide the resources that are on your website, so we've gone through that. But you also do a bit of hand-holding, don't you?
Yes, I do, and David Shapiro, who is no longer on the board but still willing to take phone calls, has done an awful lot of the hand-holding, too.
Okay.
Having been through the experience myself, I know what it feels like to feel like your babies are going to be taken away from you. I mean, these animals are like our children.
And sometimes
and for some people, you know, they're their lifeline of their emotional support. And to have this threatened and go through this alone with no help, even in cases where we can't help, it's just good to have someone to talk to.
Well, I was going to make that point, that sometimes that nice warm ear is really very comforting. And, of course, I want our listeners to know that we're going to try to join forces here, because at Star Publications and drjoystar.com, we do provide homeowner teleconsultations and do help them try to move forward in solving the problem. But I think it's really critical that you provide that listening ear and warm support for people that are in distress. Now let's talk for a moment about the animals. How would you describe yourself in terms of actually helping animals?
Okay. Well, huge numbers of animals, perfectly healthy, potentially good pets, are literally destroyed every year. We say put to sleep, euthanize, that makes us sound better. But the numbers go up every year. And if people are being displaced from their homes because of the economy, because of some recent legislation, whatever, more people leave, and people leave animals behind. And basically, helping the animals is, you know, the main reason I started on this. I have been an animal activist for years. I'm personally a vegetarian, and personally I've volunteered for a number of different animal causes, and it just hurts me to know how many animals are destroyed when there's no need. There
so,
are
for
thousands,
example,
thousands of people who are waiting to have animals. There are thousands of people who don't want to give up their animals and live in fear that someone's going to make them give up their animals.
Okay, that's really the point I was getting at, that by these abusive pet rules and pet laws, it's forcing people to put their animals, effectively, to put them to death, because there's no place to put them. There's no place to send them. There's not another friend or a member of the family that will take them. First, you have a broken heart, and secondly, you're losing your pet, and the pet is losing its life because it has no place to go.
Right.
And that's the point.
It's especially bad with cats. I don't think there is a shelter anywhere right now that's taking cats.
You wrote
maybe kittens, but the shelters aren't taking cats.
That's a new development, because we've been...
No, it's been for a while. It's very hard to find a place to take a cat. There are just too many.
In other words, if the shelters or the Humane Society might pick up cats that are outside and take them to a shelter, in that case, the shelter would accept them. But if you tried to take your cat to a shelter, it would not accept the cat?
I don't think any shelters or Humane Societies are actively looking for animals to save. It's a bad situation.
Oh, it's worse than we thought.
Yes.
Because we did a very wonderful and important show on homeless cats. It was a phenomenal show about the situation today and how many... The numbers vary between 5 and 10 million animals are killed each year because they're homeless, basically. Feral and homeless. Both. So this only these abusive pet rules and tight and rough pet rules only contribute to that situation,
right.
Compound it.
And seriously, besides TNR, trap, neuter, and return of feral cats, the other thing that we have to do is find more... places for them to go.
Right.
And then when we're addressing that side of it.
Right. All right, what are some of the worst cases that you've seen?
Okay.
You don't have to mention the name, but
no,
the type of case. Right.
I don't really want to mention the name.
Right.
Thank you. There is an elderly woman who... When her husband died, was advised to get a little dog. She got a little 2.5-pound teacup chihuahua. It was trained to go inside her house. She would never take it out except to go to the vet. And she had this dog for 7 years, and then the condo started to go after it. She brought it out one time. I don't know what it was for. Made her life literally miserable. since she couldn't afford expensive legal fees, she agreed to go to state arbitration. The state arbitrator, I would love to mention her name, but I will resist. I won't say it. She was influenced by one of the big condo law firms who had been using a case, and I got this information from the reporter did the story on this woman, using a case that was based on an auto factory disability case to state that animals have to be specifically trained for a type of disability, for assisting in a type of disability. Well, you know, that is just not true. And I've gotten some opinions from fair housing experts. I recently went to a fair housing symposium put on by HUD and some of the local FAPs, which are fair housing assistance partners. You do not need to provide proof of training, especially for an emotional support animal. And this woman had not only a bunch of physical disabilities, but she had a lot of emotional issues, and she had a doctor's letter to attest to this.
Well, what if you don't have a doctor's letter? I mean, what if you don't have an emotional disability, but you have an emotional problem? You will have one if you lose your pet.
Well, that's true, but there is federal law that implies, doesn't necessarily guarantee, but there is federal law to cover the idea that if you have an emotional disability and prove from a doctor's letter that you have a disabling condition, and then that a support animal will help ameliorate and help with life functions related to the what the disability is doing to you, that you should be able to have an animal.
All right.
Okay.
So that is important.
And this
right.
And the combination of the Americans with Disability Act, and I'm not speaking as an attorney, I'm just speaking of you know, information that I have collected. The Americans with Disabilities Act defines not only physical disabilities, but also emotional and mental disabilities. Both fair housing and rehabilitation law, both federal and state, say that reasonable accommodations must be made for people with disabilities. The HUD and the FAPs, the people that administer fair housing law and prosecute people for discriminating against disabled people, more recently they have supported more the idea of emotional support animals in recent years. They understand the issue.
All right, I want to come back to that because my concern is that it often forces people to claim emotional disabilities that they don't have, but as I mentioned before, will feel emotionally crushed, could get quite sick if forced to relinquish their pet or prevented from having a pet when they really need one, such as a cat that can't possibly do any harm to one's neighbors. But let's go on to your second example for the moment.
Okay. There's a couple up in West Palm Beach that has been harassed by their condo board for over a year now. The man in the couple is disabled. His wife is still working. He's home alone during the day, and their dog provides solace to him and really is a help with him. But he's been threatened with removal of the dog for over a year now. We were able to help him to know what his rights are and basically the attorneys have sort of turned away from fighting people who have doctor's letters. They're starting to see that they lose cases like that. So what they tried to say is that the animal is a nuisance. It's basically, even though there's a right to have an emotional support animal, or in the case of a physical disability, to have a service animal, the animal still is not allowed to be a nuisance. You know, you have to pick up after the animal. The animal has to be trained so it doesn't bark, doesn't bite, doesn't annoy people
right.
different ways. Okay. So the tendency that I'm seeing in several cases, not just this one case, is to try to make false claims of nuisance. The board president lived above this couple. He would stomp on their ceiling in the middle of the night, trying to make the dog bark. When the couple was still walking the dog outside, this board president would take an aggressive stance, like a karate stance, and try to get the dog to react. And this harassment and antagonization, he put up a notice in the condo bulletin to report to the local animal control if this couple was ever seen walking the dog.
Oh no!
The local animal control said they never said that, and then you know, and they do not support him in doing this.
Well, how did they want the dog to eliminate, if not by taking a walk? They wanted it to be done in the house.
I suppose so, and a lot of people do that with their dogs.
Little ones, yes. But.
Yeah, this dog's a little bit larger, but that's what they've been doing. They're
mm-hmm.
so harassed by the board. And last time I talked to the couple, the board president was going around trying to get people to sign affidavits to say the dog was a nuisance. So he's got his buddies, you know, that will do this. The couple has talked to people who support them, but they will not go on record because they're so afraid of retaliation. And this is the kind of thing that goes on in condos all the time.
That's pretty ugly, isn't it?
Yes, it's really pretty ugly. It's a terrible situation. Where it stands right now, the board president early on called animal control to complain about a bad dog. Animal control came out, evaluated the dog, and said the dog was fine. But with this latest harassment, they did get... because they had some, you know, he had a number of letters, animal control was taking on the case. Now, what they're having a hearing, it might be this week. In the meantime, animal control is doing unnecessary training of the dog because the dog is just fine. But as a response to these complaints.
Oh, my. This is quite an interesting case. We'll have to keep in touch about that.
Yeah. Now, there's another case. I'll just give you one more. A younger woman, very accomplished, intelligent woman, had an auto accident and had a closed head injury, which had emotional complications, affects her ability to think clearly. I know when I talk to her, she's got to take notes, or you know, I can't interrupt her and ask a question because she's got to go back to the beginning and start again because her mental processing is not what it used to be. And she had a major issue this time over a cat. And I think you and I will agree there, you know, maybe there might be some grounds where someone might say a dog could be a problem. People don't pick up after it or the dog barks too much. How can anybody complain about a cat? That is beyond
correct.
Me. And she had the major issues, and she just had all kinds of problems because she wasn't getting money from the insurance, and you know, couldn't pay for lawyers, and it just went on and on. They were just horrible, and she finally got help from HUD that decided yes, she can keep the case, but in the meantime, the condo attorneys, the pro board condo attorneys. Have charged her $30,000 for their services to try to make her life so miserable.
Oh, my. Oh, this is horrible.
Yeah, the horrors go on and on. We have lots of cases. We also have cases where we've been able to help people, but, you know, those are some examples of some of the worst things.
Let's talk about the legislation that you've been promoting. You've been working so hard on legislation in Florida. I know that there's a California model that you've been trying to emulate. Could you talk about that for a moment?
Okay. Well, obviously, we would like to have a law like the one that's in California that just simply states that people who live in association-run housing are allowed to have companion animals as long as they follow reasonable rules. Let's see, I will read a quote from their legislation. No governing document shall prohibit an owner of a separate interest within a common interest development from keeping at least one pet within the common interest development subject to reasonable rules and regulations of the association. The law also applies to mobile home parks. Under California law, by the way, governing documents are includes the operating rules.
Okay.
Okay. And that's what we really want. Now, short of that, we have other ideas to work towards that. And just like in California, they started with an emotional support animal bill, and that's what we started with. And I would like to tell you, you know, later if there's time, about some of the other ideas we have. Basically, the emotional support animal bill would help just those people who have emotional disabilities. That doesn't help everybody, but it's at least a start, so the people who have a legal right are not denied their rights. It becomes a very complicated issue, so there are a few things that we wanted to clarify in one single bill. As I mentioned before, the existing federal law is interpreted, surmised, pulled together from a number of different places. It's disability law, it's fair housing law, it's rehabilitation law. I'd like to see the law in one place, so any idiot on a condo board would see black and white.
Right. That wouldn't
you have an emotional disability,
them, right.
you have this right.
They
I'm sorry
still
to
go
be
forward.
So strong, but, you know. Right. Okay, so some of the things that we want to get straightened out is say very clear that the animal does not need specialized training or skill in assisting the owner with a specific diagnosed disability. We wanted to cover the kinds of health professionals who can write a letter. Right now, if your family doctor writes a letter, some boards will laugh at it. If a psychiatrist writes a letter, they might accept it. We want a law to say that qualified health professionals include any physician or advanced registered nurse practitioner who's licensed in the state to prescribe medications for emotional and mental conditions be included as someone who can write a letter. We also want to include any mental health worker, such as a mental health counselor, psychologist, social worker who's licensed in the state to practice counseling therapy or psychotherapy. Those are the people who, you know, should be able to say that someone has a disabling condition.
I just want to mention here that in my own case, and part of what prompted me to write my book about the situation, when they came after me, in order to clear all the other animals out of the condo, they went after a woman who was bequeathed two tiny little parakeets from her daughter who died of cancer. Daughter died of cancer in her 40s. The woman was in her probably mid-60s and late 60s, and she clung to those two little parakeets for life. And, of course, the condo did not care a whit about those two parakeets through all
No.
the years they had lived here, but
No.
in order to make a clean case against me, they went after her. She brought a doctor's letter, and they literally, the board president, threw it in her face, literally took it and threw it back at her and said, "We don't care." And she was forced to remove the parakeets.
And she shouldn't have been. HUD would have supported her.
Of course, but she didn't know.
Right.
She had no. She wasn't. English wasn't her first language. She had no idea. She was terrified. And I'm supporting really what you're saying and how this can devastate somebody when the board shows so little compassion for a woman who lost her daughter and left. The daughter left only two little parakeets and. And she couldn't let. Of course, eventually, when I won, she was able to bring back the parakeets. If I had not won, to this day, she wouldn't have the parakeets.
That what you just said reminds me of another issue. We would love to have someone, especially who's Hispanic speaking, to answer calls we get from people who don't speak English. I've got a call sitting there in my answering machine. I'm waiting to find someone to translate it for me.
It
and
is
maybe
very
answer the
important.
Person.
Right, because the Hispanic population of the country is affected very strongly, and a good, you know, number of people who need help don't know that the resources like our books and our consultation and your site, which you do, is available to them. They aren't even aware because it's not easy for them to access it and to read the books or to have the communication. It is a shame. It's a missing link in it all, isn't it?
The only thing, I do have a small link on my page to explain in Spanish what the petition is, and you know, if someone understands it, and they can just sign in English, but that's about the only thing I have in Spanish. So continuing to talk about the emotional support animal bill, there is a link to the wording of the bill, the latest version, out on the webpage, and the actual webpage that holds the information is on Cyber Citizens for Justice. It's on one of their pages. And, you know, there's more in here. One of the things we try to add in the bill is that, which agrees with the way the federal laws are written, is that a person can't be turned away from buying and moving into a place because they have a health requirement where they need an animal. And the other one is, once a person qualifies for an emotional support animal, they should not have to requalify for a replacement animal when the animal passes away.
Right.
And that's a really big issue. As a matter of fact, we work with the Friars in Fort Lauderdale. They do counseling for grief counseling for people, and that's one of the issues that comes up for them all the time when someone loses a pet and they're not allowed to replace them. It's what I call the poison pill.
Very important.
I found that what I've learned by talking to people these several years I've been doing this is that the developers have looser rules when people first buy into properties, and they tend to allow pets, tend to allow a lot of things that aren't allowed later on, then the condo law firms, the condo management firms have their influence, and all of a sudden every place within about 10 years has the same cookie-cutter rules that exist everywhere else, to the extent that this by now, somewhere between 90 and 95% of condo developments don't allow pets. And when you have probably at least 35% of the population who wants pets, where are people to go?
95% of the buildings do not allow pets?
That's our estimation. We would love to get better statistics. We do not have the money to pay for the research. We know some people who would be willing to do the research, but as a matter of fact, we were in touch with a real estate professor at FAU who was going to do a study on, based on some data he already had, to massage this data and find out how pricing of units is affected by whether pets are allowed or not. But we don't have the money to pay for the study.
Right.
A lot of research is really needed in this area. But there has been some research on apartment dwellers, and we know from research done on apartment dwellers that about 35% of people who live in apartments would like to have a pet if they could have one, and we're estimating that it would be a similar number in condos. In the general population, almost 65% of households have at least one pet. We would expect in the condos, which tend to be more of an older population, not always, that the number might go down a little because people might have health problems where they would prefer not to have to take care of an animal, or they might want to travel and not be tied down by an animal. But there's still a significant number of people who would like to have a pet, and we think that the housing availability underrepresents those people.
Well, let's look at the numbers you just presented. 65% of the population has at least one pet. there are approximately 50 million people in condo and homeowner associations, maybe more, but at least 50 million. So it looks like the population is fairly evenly divided between, you know, pet owners and non-pet owners. The majority tend to have their own private home, appears, according to what you've outlined here.
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't have statistics to back that up.
Or
all I know is when I go through real estate ads or check on places, that I find most places don't have pets. And from all the letters that we get from people who are trying desperately to find a place to move in with pets, you know, there is definitely a problem. The exact statistical extent of the problem, I really can't say.
Okay. What do you think it's going to take to get a pro-pet bill passed in Florida?
Okay. Well, we need to get more signatures on the petition. Back in the early days when we only had about 1,000 signatures, one of the state representatives down in Miami was willing to look at us. I kept going to condo reform, condo town hall meetings and stating my case. David Shapiro started doing it, and that's how we met. And Julio Rabina, representative down in Miami, said, here's a few people stating that there's an issue about pets, but you know, it doesn't seem to be a significant number. If he gets at least 100 people, maybe he'll look into this issue. So I emailed him that night with my list of over, like, around 1,200, 1,300 names. He said, oh, okay, and he was willing to take a look at it. And as a result, our emotional support animal bill was included in the 2007 condo HOA reform bill. The pet issues passed through several committees in the House and in the Senate, but the bill itself never made it to the floor for a vote. I think part of it is due to so much opposition against any kind of reform in HOAs. There's a lot of opposition in that area. And so the larger bill never even made it to the floor for a vote. There were also in 2007 so many huge economic issues, taxes and insurance, and that it was just something that they never got to. It was not considered as important. In 2008, we had the emotional support animal bill as a separate thing, and we had sponsor in the House and in the Senate, Representative Peter Nair, outside of this area, sponsored in the House. Jim King, who I believe is on the west side of the state, was the Senate sponsor. And Jim King, who has already gotten some pro-animal legislation passed in previous years and, you know, was a good sponsor, he dropped out when he was given a new committee assignment. He dropped all the bills he was sponsoring. And it was done too late for us to even find another Senate sponsor. So we're going to try again for 2009. Representative Rabina originally wanted to push a bill that would say you only need a simple majority to overrule no pet rules, and nobody in our organization liked that. I could just see it going back and forth. You know, one year you get 51%. For the next year, you get 51% against. So you just never end the battle,
right?
And no one really liked that.
Now let's talk for a moment here about something else that you've written to me in our various communications. We have a little bit less than 10 minutes left, so I want to focus on what might be some compelling emotional, heart-related issues for people. Meaning, it hurts their heart. And that is one argument against emotional support animals for the elderly is that they can't take care of them. How would you address that?
I think that is really, you know, a discriminatory remark. I realize that's not coming from you personally.
Oh, no.
But you know, I think that's a terrible thing to say about old people. Being one myself, I'm highly insulted. First of all, people are retiring younger and younger, so you have people, you know, as young as 55. And for someone to say someone 55 or, 65 in good health can't handle a pet is ridiculous. And people have, successfully taken care of pets up until their older years. I think people should be able to determine for themselves, whether they're capable of having a pet. I know in my case I wouldn't want to have a large dog only because I have a hip replacement and I couldn't physically handle it. I could probably handle a small dog that's not too strong and very well trained, but I know my own limits, and I think most people would know their own limits.
And so that really
it's highly insulting for someone to even imply that, and there are some maybe limited resources for people who were capable of taking care of pets and then can't later. One of the organizations that we work with is the Pet Project, and they're in the Tri-County area of Palm Beach, Broward, and Miami-Dade counties. They help people who have terminal illnesses or serious illnesses be able to keep their pets, even if it comes down to walking the pets or bringing pet food or whatever. So there are resources. I also know that in some counties, Meals on Wheels also provides pet food. Not
it
just
does.
Food to the people, yes.
Oh, how
and
interesting.
That's a trend around the country, and I believe Broward is one of the places that does it.
That's very important.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think many people know that. I would never imagine that Meals on Wheels, in other words, they're providing food to the owner, and if the owner has a pet, they're going to send food to the pet as well.
And if people, people have access to the internet, or even if they could phone me too,
mm-hmm.
They can order healthy pet net food through us over the internet and have healthy food for their pets delivered right to their door. And I know it comes in a corrugated box with nothing to identify on it that is pet food.
Which is
a serious problem. I've had people
right.
call me, how am I going to get my cat or my dog to a vet? Someone's going to take my pet away from me. And I'll say something about there are some vets that make house calls. If they have a sign on their truck or vehicle that says who they are, they would also out someone. And people are terrified that.
Are you there?
Yes.
I thought I lost you for a moment. Okay. I think what you're talking about now is really very important for the listener because you've raised a number of issues that most people are unaware of. Meals on Wheels, that people can have healthy pet food delivered right to their door. Is it by UPS or mail, or how is it sent to them?
The healthy pet. Now, I didn't really notice.
Okay.
It's either UPS or one of those other similar services. There
are
three or four different companies that do the same thing now.
Okay. And the last issue, well, actually, we only have about a minute to go, so we're almost signing off now. But the last minute, if you can do it in a minute, that would be the argument that people will be affected, fellow homeowners, by allergies, those who are allergic to pet. I heard that again and again and again. I have an allergy. I don't want to have a cat in the building, in the entire building.
Yeah.
I'm on the first floor. You're on another floor, but I don't want the cat.
That is a totally bogus argument. I'm sorry. First of all, any building that's been built in the last, say, 30 years has been built so that air is not shared between units. That's number one. I might understand some slight concern if there's only one elevator or if you have inside hallways and someone has to share the same hallways. Those issues could be handled by air filters and other things. If the person is, who doesn't like the pets is so paranoid, they can wear a face mask and not be affected at all. I mean, if people are so allergic they can't have pets around, then they should also outlaw smoking and perfume and cleaning chemicals.
I think those are more important.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Maida, this has been a wonderful show. I've really enjoyed hearing your views and your contribution to this topic. I urge people to sign your petition and to visit petsincondos.org. And I hope that you will join us again in the future. I want our listeners to know that we're planning some nice projects together, and I look forward to that as well. It's a delight to hear you and to talk with you and to work with you.
Yes, thank you so much for allowing me to talk about our organization. I really enjoyed this, and I'll be glad to be on the show again.
Looking forward to that. So thank you very much, and for RightsRadio.com, this is Dr. Joyce Starr and StarrPublications.com. I hope you'll visit our sites and look forward to meeting with you again soon. Bye-bye.